Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Previously on The Rundown with Danielle Levy.
There's so much gratification in working with young women and men where there's this unexpected shift in their relationship with themselves and with life, you know, like that it starts with food and then they just start to feel more connected with themselves, more empowered, more confident. And that just stems into all kinds of positive things.
On this episode of The Rundown, I had a great chat with one of the province's best runners, Francois Jerry. He fell in love with the sport years ago when he won a race he entered in high school, and he's never looked back. He's been the Quebec 10,000 meter champ for the last 5 years, but he's a pretty great marathoner too, running 2 hours and 22 minutes in his elite marathon debut. And his goal is to set the Quebec marathon record one day. For Francois, running was a sport that helped shape his identity, something I think we all can relate to in one way or another on our own running journey. Are you already subscribed to The Rundown, running with WRG, and still can't get enough? Sign up to our weekly newsletter and always stay connected. You can learn more about what's happening in the run community, hear about exclusive events, and stay up to date with the podcast. Visit iamarunner.ca and subscribe. Simple as that. You'll never miss a beat. In this week's news, there really isn't much to talk about, other than this coronavirus. Heck, it's everywhere we look, and to be honest with you, it's pretty scary, even for runners like us. I know in our community alone, running clubs around the city of Montreal are doing their part to help slow the virus that is affecting so many people all over the world. But just because we're canceling runs and group outings doesn't mean we should stop being active. I say let's use this as a test of mental toughness. Let's look at this as an opportunity to train ourselves to go the distance and battle thoughts of doubt during our weekly long runs. After all, this is an individual sport, and nobody will run the race for us when we're facing adversity. I know personally, I have turned the bulk of my runs into group activities, so I'm looking forward to the opportunity to work on my running solo for a while and see if I can push my limits further than before. This situation is as crazy and as real as it gets. It's made me think about how lucky we all are to have the people and things we have in our lives, something I think we all take for granted at one time or another. For now, runners everywhere should follow some simple guidelines. Stay out of group events. Avoid contact as much as possible. Stay 6 feet away from other people around you. Avoid pushing streetlight buttons. Make sure to wear gloves, and please wash your hands as often as possible. There's still so much about the virus that we don't know, but for now, let's do our part to contain it. Make sure to check the show notes for links and more information. That's all for now. Gotta run. In Montreal, we're super fortunate to have some amazing runners, and I've been fortunate to have access to a few of them and get to know a few of them, including Mel Mirand, who's been on the show already. And today I wanted to have on one of her teammates. He's also coached by Coach John LaFranco, who we've also had on the show. He's an excellent runner and a great guy. And I hope that you get to see that a little bit through our interview today. I'd like to introduce to the show Francois Jerry.
Thank you.
Not bad, hey?
Yeah.
yeah, it's funny how this kind of came about. We were at a Skechers event last night. We're both ambassadors for the brand, and just started talking podcast, and here you are today, you know? So thanks for coming in on such short notice.
My pleasure.
Yeah, usually, I mean, I know you, I mean, just as an incredible elite runner, when I see you at a starting line, I know it's going to be a fast race, but was running always a part of your life? And like growing up, were you always interested in running?
When I was younger, I played soccer a bit, but not running. My father was an avid runner, and I was really bad at soccer. Like many runners, often we joke around that we're very poorly coordinated, and I was a classic like that. And yeah, so I played sports, but I was never really good. And then at the end of my high school, secondary five, we had a little school race, and I was one of the few students that took this seriously. Most of the kids didn't care too much, but a few of us, like, were serious about it and trained a bit. And then I won that race, and then I was super, super happy, even though, like, there were faster guys that just didn't show up that day because they didn't care. But yeah. I was super happy, like, best moment of my life at that moment. And that's when I started running. So I was like 16, 17,
wow,
around that age. So a late comer to the game, but so as most people are, I find, in the running community, many people start when they're older.
Yeah, I actually remember some high school races or even elementary school races that would occur, and like wanting to participate in those, but at the time never got a chance to actually make it on those teams. Like, I don't know if you remember there was a run on Mount Royal.
Yeah, the ALO race.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a classic.
The classic. And yeah, it was something I always wanted to do, but I was never fast enough to make it.
Really? Wow. Yeah. You must have been in a good school, because usually it's just like whoever wants to go goes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's like that today, and earlier in your days it was like more competitive and harder.
I don't know. I always seem to think that it was like the hyper kids that were making it, that just like could sprint super fast, you know, and didn't make it. So, but like, so why did you decide to sign up for that race? Was it like,
well, it was all the school was doing it. So okay, it wasn't really a decision, if you say, but I would have signed up. I was always like the kid who would sign up when, like, oh, skip a day and go do cross country. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I like school, but like, I like to go have fun, like, play frisbee with the other kids and then race, run as hard as you can. Then, but I wasn't particularly good at that time. I would finish mid or end of the race. But mm-hmm.
And so you continued from that point? Like, did you, was it because you won that you had a love for running, yeah, all of a sudden?
Yeah, because I was finally good at something, you know? Often I talk to a lot of runners, and often that's one thing they say, you know? It's like, I finally feel like running, it's a like a masochistic sport or something, like, you know, like it can be, when you're racing it's painful, like it's not fun in itself, the racing, it's afterwards, the feeling of accomplishment and feeling like you're good at something, and gives you like a sense of like you define as a runner, because that's one thing you're doing that you're very good at, or just that you feel you're good at, or that defines you. And finally had something going for me, you know. I was okay at school and all, and okay at everything, but like finally had something really I could define myself with. And then CJEP, I joined the cross country team, and I progressed from there, like gradually. And then university, that's when I started really training seriously. So CJEP, I was training 3-4 days a week, maybe, of like running. Out of that, there's maybe 2 workouts. Mm-hmm. Then university, that's when I started training with John, who was the McGill Olympic Club coach at the time. And he was the first coach I sat down with, made a big plan on the Google Sheet, which is like Excel, mm-hmm, and write down, this day you're going to run that much, this day you're going to run that much. And that's really when I started to progress.
Cool. That's awesome. And so you said like that, so you were always kind of coached before then? Is that the case? But it was just different kind of coaching?
It was like, you know, I show up before, like, so in high school, it's just, there was no coach. It's just like in gym class, you, at the start of the class, she makes us run 2 laps, and a few people take it seriously and try hard, and the rest, like, they just walk, or they try to cut halfway through or something.
Yeah.
And so that was my coaching, if you will. And then in CJEP, we had a coach, we had a team and all, but it wasn't any, there was nothing individualized. It was just show up to practice, do your practice. And he was coaching the triathlon team, that coach, and these people, they had their individual plan. But for the school, it was like those who were in the cross country with the school, it's just you show up to practice, mm-hmm, maybe do a bit of jog on off days, but nothing very clear, nothing written, that no, you do a long run on the Sunday after that. It's just show up to practice, do it. And I progressed a lot from that.
Yeah.
But then progressed even more in university.
Cool. And did they have you doing like any kind of weight training on top of the running? Okay.
Nope.
and so like, so obviously like that helps, but like maybe later on we'll talk if you, you know, see if you do it now.
I'm the worst.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm the worst at the weight training. Like John always tries to get me to do it, and I need, I'm weak. And like just not physically so much, but just mentally, like running, I like it, and it's just, it's easy for me to do it. Mm-hmm. But when I need to go do something I don't like, such as weight training, I need to have someone with me. Mm-hmm. If not, I just don't. So I did do a bit when I had my friend Aaron doing it with me. But then when he's away, then I completely, yeah, it's bad.
So what do you do when you're not running, if you're not doing weight training? Or what?
I always run. I don't want to not run. Like if I don't run, then like I go crazy. What?
Yeah.
Actually, no. In the past, I used to think I'd go crazy if I wouldn't run. Like it was my big scare. I was like, oh my God, I look at the person who's injured next to me and I'm so scared. I'm like, oh, like I could never do a pool running or like just do nothing. I'd go crazy. But I don't know, with the years, maybe I've gotten lazy or something, but like when you have a break and when you're injured, I find it's more like it's a break bit. You do other stuff, and I found it's actually not so bad. But after a while, if it's a long injury, luckily I haven't had that yet, but like over a month, then I'd go crazy.
It's tough, yeah. When you get those injuries, it's just, I think that's one of my fears too.
Oh.
Getting hurt and then not being able to train, or how do you spend months in recovery? It's not something I ever want to experience.
Runner's worst fear, I think.
Yeah, for sure. So do you think like that, or those early stages of running, like you mentioned that your success came later.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that created a nice base for you to then be successful later on in running?
Yeah, and I find like one of the key things why I improved is because I was consistent, because I wasn't getting injured. And a lot of guys, they start training, guys and girls, they start training earlier. And I find they sometimes they're too intense, and they're just like, when they feel a little pain, they don't want to stop. And I don't know, maybe, I don't know how much scientific basis there is to it, but I find maybe if you start too young, you might develop some overuse injuries easier just because you're constantly running this way with your evolving body. And I just find many of these people were more prone to injury versus me, having never specialized in any sport, just being like playing like super recreative league soccer and being the worst of it and playing a bit of basketball here and there. I think that helped me have a body that would get less injured a bit. Mm-hmm. I think there's also genetics, but I think that was the main key to that, to just being injury free. That made a big difference.
Yeah, I say it frequently on the podcast because I believe in it, but having soccer and hockey as well from the age of about 12, I think it gave me a good base for running and allows me to run injury free. Because you kind of have a background in those kind of motions.
Yeah, like soccer. Like I sucked at soccer, but I was good at running in soccer.
Yeah. So, I was the same way.
Yeah.
Did you play midfield or?
Yeah. Well, no, I was too bad. So they put me in defense. But normally if I was decent, I should have been midfield. Because that was the one thing I was good at, was running.
Running around.
Yeah. And sometimes they actually put me midfield, like, because I was a bit of a liability in defense. But yeah.
The last line of defense, you don't want the weakest player.
No, because especially I'm terrible at the head.
Headers?
Yeah, headers. But we're seeing now that it's super dangerous. Like kids are getting commotions from that. So now I just realized I was just smart. I was just at good self-preservation.
Yeah, exactly. So can you talk a little bit about, you said that, you know, once you joined John, and he's a great guy, great coach, and super experienced. How long have you been with John, and can you explain that relationship a little bit, and how important it is for you to have a coach?
Yeah. The number, like a lot of people ask, why do you need a coach in running often? And for me, the big thing is to tell me when to stop. And I think a lot of runners, that's also it. It's to tell them when to stop, like scheduling too many races, or Like when to stop also, it really comes with experience for you, because often people will just lie to their coach, say, no, I feel fine. And then you learn to detect the injury. But when it comes to like just saying, okay, I'll do this race this weekend, then this one this weekend, and oh, I'll try to do the workout right after, and all, and you need the coach to tell you, okay, stop, do less. At the beginning, some people also, they need the coach to actually tell them, well, also run on your easy days, do this, 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 and that. But I'll just go from the start, from when I started to be with John. That was in 2013 when I came in university. And the funny thing is, normally I shouldn't have been coached by John, because initially I should have joined the McGill University team, the varsity team. Instead, I missed the tryouts, problems with emails. I won't get in too much detail. It wasn't on my end, I'll say. But in the end, I show up first week of class, and oh, when's the tryouts? And this other guy's like, yeah, it was last week. I'm like, oh god.
Yeah.
And then he says, but there's the Mig Olympic Club. So I go to join that. And then I talk with John. That's when I met him and I sat with him. And first thing I tell him is, okay, so I'm doing this marathon in a month. And he's like, what? Like, okay. But he was very, very flexible, and he still let me run it. And I find he's very chill guy, very calm, and just he'll listen to what you want to do. He'll give his advice, but he is very, he's not a rigid coach, mm-hmm. I find. And that's one thing I really like, because sometimes I'm a bit stubborn. Sometimes I want to do that thing. And when he lets you, then you're more willing to respect when he says, don't do that. Because, you know, okay, like his limits are up there. So I don't want to cross that limit, because it's probably bad if I do that. It's just been, I worked, then I managed to still get in on the team somehow, like speaking to people, and they saw, oh, you're not too bad. Okay, you can hop in.
Okay.
And yeah, then I just progressed. Like when I started training 6 days a week, 7 days a week, that's when I started seeing the big improvements. Just like doing 2-3 workouts and then just easy running, the mileage, you don't feel it. You don't feel your muscles growing or anything. But then you show up at the race and you're like a minute faster in the you know, 10K or 5K. And just...
Is that where your focus was at that time?
Yeah, mostly. Because cross country, you do 10K for guys. Maybe now it's moved to 8K. I'm not too sure, for gender equality, to make the distances equal. Mm. But that was mostly it. And then indoors, we ran track, 3,000 meters, 1,500. But I've always been a road racing guy. Mm. I love the roads. It's fun. It's more festive, I'd say.
Yeah.
There's more people in general versus... Yeah. I saw this Steve Magnus tweet last night. It was so funny. It was about the virus, the coronavirus. And he's like, oh, all the other events are being canceled because are going to be played in front of no fans. Everyone's going crazy, like NBA, no fans. Oh my God. And then he's like, yeah, track and field, we've been prepared for that for long. No fans, no problem. I was dying. So funny.
But it makes sense.
It's a bit the truth, except for big competition, like a few ones have some spectators, but
yeah. And speaking of the coronavirus, you just had some news just before we got on here that, the races are canceled.
It's crazy. Like all the races are being canceled. So I was supposed to go to 15K Quebec Road Championships at the Pichou this weekend, which is in Jonquière or Chicoutimi. And then we just got news today. I've always been like, I'm teaching. And I was during lunch, I was looking at my phone. There's the news that all events of 250 people or more are canceled. And oh, that race has 2,000 people. It's going to be canceled.
Yeah.
Then switch the plans. Then I learned the guy is like, our race organizer is pretty stubborn. He's like, unless the city stops me, I won't. Wow. I'll find a way to make it happen. And I kind of understand, because it's like 2 days before. But then just now, just as we were doing this, I got the news that it's finally canceled. The city said, no, just stop it. So it's crazy. Like it's canceling a lot of stuff, but at the same time, it's understandable. I guess it's the best way to
stop it.
Yeah, stop the spread. That's the most important, I think.
Yeah. If we all have to take some time off from this stuff, then like whatever we're doing, it's parties, it's I don't know, like the NHL just suspended the season, NBA, all the major leagues are shutting. So I guess for us, it should be really no different, you know?
Yeah, they're running also. But it doesn't hurt until it's your sport, you know? NBA was like, oh, it's sad. And I enjoyed watching it, but okay. NHL, okay, it's sad. But now that it's my sport, you know?
And, yeah.
And you got the prize money, no one, you know, I was counting on that money to buy me an Xbox or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
Crazy. So you did like fives and tens mainly, and then
yeah.
When did you realize you wanted to jump up in distance? And
well, I was a bit foolish because I did the marathon. I was like, I'm stubborn, and like when I was 18, I did a marathon first thing, like in CJEP, then my second year of CJEP. You know, like you just want to do it because it's the big event, like everyone's talking about it. Then today, I'd recommend anyone not to start with a marathon. I'd say like. Do 5Ks, 10Ks, work your speed, increase that, then do a marathon. So you're doing it properly. But yeah, I did my first marathon. I did 3:05 and I did Montreal. And then I was like, okay, I want to break 3. And then the second time I broke 3, I did 2:58 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like I did marathons before. And then when I started running for university, that's when I had to have some discipline and like they told me, if you run a marathon, you're not running for us because you're messing up your cross country season. So I was like, okay.
So you take a break.
Yeah. So I focus more on 5Ks and 10Ks, and allow me to enjoy these more. I started to enjoy the speed, going fast, and then I did my first marathon. That was in my first elite marathon, if you will. Like when I'd gotten faster was in 2018, I think, Montreal again.
Mm-hmm. And that was a really great time that you put up, right?
I did 2:22 something.
Yeah.
Which I was very happy with.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. I wanted to go sub 2:20, but I'm always very ambitious. But yeah. I was still like happy because you never know, marathon what's going to happen. It's so, anything can happen.
It's a variable, anything longer distance. You could have, stomach problems, you could, blister, whatever, anything can happen.
And it's the most ruthless distance, yeah. Like 30K, you can pull off fine. Like 21K, half marathon, I find you can pull it off fine. 15K, less, it's fine. The marathon, anything can happen. You can never know.
Mm-hmm. So you went from 3:03 to 2:58, and then you ran the 2:22?
Yeah, but there were 4 years between that. For 5 years about.
Yeah. So I always wonder when someone makes a big jump like that, because I'm looking at you and I'm like, I'm not saying I'll ever be a 2:22, but similar race results early on. I ran a 2:58 and then I ran like a 2:55, then a 2:45 last year.
That's a good jump.
Yeah. But then like to go from 2:58 to 2:22, that's huge.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? Like what's the trick?
You want to increase your speed a bit, and you just want to train a lot consistently over the years. You just train, and you like the marathon, like it's going to mess up your season a bit when you do it. Cause like, you're going to have to stop running for like 2-4 weeks after it. So I'd say it's good to like let go of it for maybe a year, just train other stuff. Me, I was forced to do like 4 years or 5 years without. And you just train, gradually improve your 5K, your 10K, your half marathon. Half marathon, I find, is awesome for improving your marathon because you recover very quickly. Mm-hmm. I find it depends on the person. But me, like a few days after the half marathon, I still feel fine. Still feel, unless it's been a really crappy one, but I still feel fine. So you can recover from that, and it's a good test. So but honestly, the key is just consistency. Just train consistently. And at some point, everyone has their peak. You never know when it is. Me, I feel like I'm getting to my peak. I don't know if I can do under 2:20. You know, I've done 2:21 this year. That was like a year after my 222. So I thought I could go under 220.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not happening. I'm like, am I at my peak? Like my race times, you never, like the PBs, they always get like, they get smaller and smaller and smaller in terms of difference with the last one.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's really interesting. The whole thing I find. And do you, like, did you ever, was that a number that you put out there, the 222? Well, or I'm trying to follow along, you know, like you did, you know, 3-4 years of fives and tens and halves. So did John say like, this is the plan to the marathon? We will, like, to be able to run that amazing marathon, you know, is this what we're going to focus on? Or like, how does that work in the relationship with the coaching and the runner?
Well, it's just, I don't think too long term. I always think we make the plan for like the year or half of the year in January or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put some races, and then it's, you just think one race at a time. And the thinking is not so much, some people are very driven to be like, okay, I'm like, one day I'll run this marathon in that amount of time, under 3 hours, let's say. And you just think about that, and you're not just thinking about me. I'm more like, I think about improving. I'm just, okay, I want to do this race. I want to improve a bit, or I want to race well, and I just want to train and improve. But it's a bit abstract, if you will. And it's not, I'm not thinking in terms of marathon time. I'm just thinking of, I want to improve. I want to get a bit faster. Mm-hmm. I want my legs to be a bit more efficient. And I just set myself all these races that are little objectives that make it fun, makes the process fun. Then at the end, in the fall, I'll have this marathon. But we're never thinking, I want to get to that time in the marathon. We're thinking, I want to improve. Then we look at my race times. We look at my training times a bit, but more my race times. So my training times are not so reflective of what I can do in a race.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, John's like, okay, you could do around these times. And that's how we make the race plan for the marathon. Because a marathon, obviously, you need to be, to like, to respect it. Because I've done it before, starting too fast. Have you ever done it? Like, starting too fast?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think for me, like, the best approach for myself is to run like every K the same.
Yeah.
And try and hold it.
Yeah.
That's how I ran my first marathon. I had no strategy. All, it was only to try and get the Boston qualifier. I wanted to run under 3:05. At the time, it was 3:05 for my age. And so it was just like, hold 4:15. Hold 4:15.
That's it. It's just the pace, you know?
Yeah.
You just look at the pace. You don't listen to your body too much, because if you're listening to your body, you're gonna be like, oh, I feel fine, and then go,
and you let it go. Yeah.
And then you pay the price in the second half.
That's it, because it's always around, you know, they talk about the wall, but it could also be like the body breaking down. You know, for me, it's usually hip flexor, kind of groin area. Sometimes I get like a little pull in my calf or my quad, you know, hamstring.
That's scary,
you know, but it's, you know, it's part of that process. You have to build in, the more you do them, the better it is, but the better you get. But I'm sure you see some, as you improve the 5 and the 10K, that's where you can see some gains. Cause I think there's a lesson to be learned from what you're saying. A lot of people want to, like, they get into running and it's like, oh, I did my first 10K. It's like 10K right away. And then it's like, okay, half. And then it's full.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to get to the full. They're rushing to get to the full. But when you look at your story, it's interesting because you spent so much time focusing on like shorter distances to then come back to the marathon, such an improved athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think attributes to that? Like, is it, you think running short helps a lot more with your form because it's faster?
And any running helps with your form. Like, so if you're running short distance, it's still going to help you for a marathon, unless you're running like 400 meters, like sprints. Of course, that's different. But like 5K, that's endurance running. 10K, that's endurance running. 15, 21, it's all endurance running. So sure, it's not you want to make some specific workouts for a marathon buildup that you're going to practice that marathon pace. But any distance running is good for distance running. Marathon is distance running. Mm. So they just L because I got better at running by training for these and running these. So I got better at running also in the marathon.
Mm.
It's very simple. Like John is always, he always has that philosophy where it's like, it's just like run and don't fall down. That's it. Yeah. You know, if you do that, you're improving a bit.
Yeah,
unless you're getting injured, you know,
yeah,
because you've fallen down, if you will. But
you sent me like a list of the accomplishments you had in those years. Like, I'm not going to list off all of them. Like, yeah, it's pretty impressive. You've climbed the ranks in running in Quebec and in Canada, and had some pretty amazing accomplishments happen. Like, is there one that stands out to you, or one that means the most to you over those years? Or that you're most proud of?
It's tough to say. Like, often I would say like that high school race, like when I was in high school, it's stupid. Like, you know, it's the least competitive field I was in. It was like a random distance. We're supposed to do like 6K. In the end, like, they reduced the distance because we're running late. So we did like 4.8. Mm. So, but that was like I was crazy proud at that moment. So that would be that. Maybe also I find my marathons, it's still all just special place. I it's not more important. Like, it's not more important to do it. Like, you'll do it one day. Like, if you want to do a marathon, you'll do it one day. Just hold off a bit. That would be my message. And if you really need to get it out of the way, do one, then suffer, and then train for other stuff and go gradually up the steps. But it's true that the marathon, it's like, it's a bit of a emotional experience. Like, when I did my first one, I'm like, it's like you have the crowd in Montreal, you know, and it's not even a crazy crowd per like big marathon standard, but it's still fun. You got your people cheering for you, and you cross the finish line, your legs are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember my first one, when I cross the finish line, I just start walking, and then I'm like, oh my God, if I'd started walking earlier, I would not have finished.
Yeah.
Because your legs become cement.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. And then I had to, like, my mom drove me home, and I was just like lying in the bed. I was like, oh, I'm dead. But it was so much fun, like crossing the finish line, having done the time. I wanted to do under 3:15. I crushed it. And mm-hmm. I was like, wow. Then when I went under 3 hours, I was like, oh
yeah,
like I made it.
There's no better feeling, you know, really. It's
because it's so stressful.
Yeah.
You train so much, so it is one of the big highlights, I'd say. Like, it's the crowd. I love the crowds, you know, like when you're running and you got the people cheering and just like, yeah, and the people waiting for you at the end, and you're just like, you're just so happy. You show off your little medal.
Yeah. Know? It's my coaches often say, it's like, just get the medal.
Yeah.
You know, like, they also say, set a few goals for yourself so that, you know, you're not like fixated on a time or a placing or whatever, but just like, at least if you have three, and I always have fun as one of the yeah, goals, that you can't have a bad day. Like, we're lucky to do what we do.
Yeah. Like, when I started having small injuries, that's when I realized, that's when I would go to a race, after I'd be like I'm pissed because I didn't get the result I wanted. But I'm like, hey, I look at the other guys who didn't show up because their legs are messed up because of some stupid injury. I'm like, okay, well, at least I was able to show up, and I have that blessing, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm blessed, hashtag, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, that's when you realize, hey, I'm running, I'm being able to train. Just that is a win in itself. And so, like, when I approach a race, I have my A goal, my B goal, my C goal. My C goal.
Yeah. So it can't go wrong.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. So, you know, you can be disappointed afterwards, but then when you just think, hey, I'm able to train, that's a big win. And just the fun of the event, talk with people, joke around.
Yeah.
It's always fun.
Was there a moment where you realized the potential you had, or did John help you realize that potential? Because he says, your coach says, that he tries to make that individual the best runner they can be.
Yeah. Well, that's a goal of any coach, I think. Like, you want to help the athlete. I coach myself a bit too, not anywhere close to him. Like, he's got a lot of experience. I'm coaching a bit of high school kids and elementary school and like soccer or track and field. But like that's a job also as a physical educator. I'm a teacher in physical education, and that also is kind of a coaching job in terms of my goal is to help them reach their potential. And for some people, like a lot of runners, that's a particular sport, because you got a lot of people that are just, you know, they're doing it, but they're just doing it to stay in shape, or they're doing it for fun. Actually, there's a lot of other sports that are like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, you got a lot of that. Just some people, they have these goals, but they don't aim to be the best, versus some other sports more like, you know, my goal is to be Sidney Crosby, is to be Wayne Gretzky. I think that's the first objective of the coach is just that, to help someone reach their true potential, whatever that may be. And even if someone has talent, maybe they're not so much interested in it. You try to make them get interest, but if they don't have it, okay, just train one day a week with me if that's what you want, if you're that's what you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And like, when did I realize that potential? It's just like when the times start improving. But it's funny, potential, like, it's like, yeah, I guess it's when you see you're progressing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you see, oh, okay, he's progressing a lot. So if he keeps progressing a lot, reacting well to training, then he has good potential. But you never know when it's going to stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And is it different types of training, or do you do the same type of training just at different speeds?
So we do a lot of intervals, but also tempo. So intervals, it can be like little 5 minutes or 6 minutes or 7 minute reps of, like, let's say 15K pace or 10K pace, then 2 minutes of easy jog. Then we go again like 5, 6, 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
So we have one day of the week is like that. The other, sometimes it can be also shorter. Sometimes we do track in the summer, so it can be like 400s, 800s, 1Ks. And we also have some tempo runs, so that's more like 15 minutes at half marathon pace, or 20 or 25. And we do that times two. So
it's,
we
like
do a bit of that too.
Simulation, it kind of helps you.
Yeah, you're closer to your race pace, and it's closer to a race experience. And these are the workouts that suck more, because it's like you're just grinding for long without a break. Then you get a small 2 minute break, then you go again.
Yeah.
But I feel like these are like, they suck the most, but these are the ones I'm most proud of when I'm done, because I'm like, okay, I'm more ready for the race. I've trained hard. I've pushed hard, not physically, well, not just physically, but also mentally. I'm like, I was very apprehensive at this work. I was like, oh, it's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
And it does hurt, but I kept going.
But it pays off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like these are the ones that pay off a lot, because you're so close to what you're doing in a race. And then there's also the long run, once a week, usually on Saturdays we do that.
Nice.
So, and the rest is easy jog.
So what kind of mileage are you looking at? And do you do mostly running in groups or solo?
Workouts mostly in groups. I try to reach with the group because it helps so much.
And that's Ville-Marie?
Yeah, Athletis Ville-Marie, which is the club my coach founded a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Often I don't have someone to run with me at my pace, just having the group at the start, you know, you jog, you do the warm up together, you talk, you chat, then you do the workout. We do this loop at Summit Circle in Westmount. And even though sometimes, or most of the time, I'm doing it alone in it, but I just see their faces. I know they're grinding as much as me. So it just helps you. Even if you have to do like a 20 minute drive to go to there, or and find parking and all that stuff, it's worth it. And the easy jog, like right now I'm working as a phys ed teacher at a school that's 5K from my apartment that I got. So I was in the plateau before, and it was fun because you had Mont-Royal. mm-hmm. which is, I love Mont-Royal to run. It's great. You do some good up and down. It's really good. Some nice trails. But now I moved to be closer to my job. So now I can commute run.
Nice.
So now I do in the morning, I do a little 5K to go to work. If I woke up too late, then I rush and I do it in like 22 minutes. Or, yeah. And if I'm chilled, then it's a bit slower, around 25, 26 minutes.
Yeah.
Then when I come back, then I add as much mileage as I need to get to what the daily total. With John, we work in minutes and not in kilometers. But let's say 1 week, I'll do like 500, 600 minutes. That will translate to about 110, 120, 30K, which I'd say is my average. Mm. So lots of mileage. Some people do more mileage, but I find it's a bit key, but it's just not doing it at a crazy pace, because I know a lot of guys that go very fast on their easy. And I think it may be sometimes a bit bad because it doesn't let you recover.
Mm.
But also some people, like, they just feel easy at a faster pace.
Right. What other things do you do to recover? What do you take any other measures?
Nothing.
No.
Like,
eat well, sleep well.
Yeah, I try to eat well. I'm vegetarian, but
okay.
Yeah, I mostly eat well, but I eat a lot of pizza. Well, I used to eat a lot of pizza because when back in the plateau, I live right next to like 10 pizzerias.
Yeah.
So that was very bad. I used to like order pizza 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
But now I'm better. Now I eat more pasta and I try to eat veggies, but my girlfriend finds I eat no veggies.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you just got to eat decently well. Obviously, I'm going to eat less fat since I eat vegetarian. Mm. But I don't think it's necessarily the key to it. Maybe it helps a bit, but I don't know.
Do you have any like go-to meals for before training or before races?
Try like pasta is a classic, you know, just yeah. go pasta, a bit of beans, to get some protein in there. That's a classic. If I'm lazy, I'll make some ramen.
Yeah.
Ramen, put some tofu in it or stuff like that. Yeah, before a race, I usually go for the classic, like, I go for what I'm used to, which often is a bowl of cereal with soy milk, or just toast and peanut butter.
Cool.
Just classic guy.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah, it's simpler. I think if you overcomplicate things, that's where things can go wrong. But the good thing you mentioned was, people say this all the time, it's like, listen to yourself. What are you yes. used to? What do you react well to? And go with that.
I think that's the key.
The minute you start changing things before your race, yeah. test it on your practice long yeah. runs or whatever, and then you're ready on race day with the prep, you know?
And I find if you try to find, like, there's scientifically, like, there's no big proven solutions to, like, getting less injury other than reducing your volume or, like, getting better sleep. Like, there's starting to be studies that show that sleeping more is can help. But all that other stuff, like ice baths, like, that's been debunked. Stretching, it doesn't help you reduce injury. You're more flexible. It doesn't, according to, like, the science writers, like Alex Hutchinson that I follow, like, it doesn't help reduce injury. So when you do these things and you're like, oh, I'm reducing my risk of injury, and then you're going to be like, oh, so it's fine if I go for a run. You know, I've done my homework.
Mm.
But then you've done real homework, because it doesn't help you. And then, so I find at least being like lazy, if you will, and not doing other like complicating stuff, this way I'm like, okay, I've done nothing to help myself, so I better not do anything foolish.
Yeah. Exactly. Just keep it simple, stupid.
Keep it simple, stupid. Like, yeah. That's a good motto. Right. I would go by, just run.
Just keep running. Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep running.
Looking back on your career, maybe to your early 20s, is there any mistakes you made that you wish you never did, or any lessons that you learned that stand out to you?
I tried to always you know, follow the like not do anything stupid, but let's say the marathon, I was a bit stupid. Now I recognize that, but I then again, I'm like, I wanted it so much. And if I hadn't done it, then I would have always had the urge to do it. So I wouldn't say I regret doing it. Obviously, I didn't gain much by running those first two marathons in around 3 hours. It probably made it a bit worse. But then again, I wouldn't say to someone, don't do a marathon in your beginnings, because it would be a bit hypocritical. And because I know they would need to do it still to get that urge out if they really need to. Mm-hmm. But I'd say do one, then stop, then train for real. And then if you want to improve your time in the marathon, then train 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons, do a lot of those. And then when you're really improved, really train doing around 500 minutes a week of running. Mm-hmm. Then I would say that's when you can start considering, okay, let's try to improve that marathon again.
That's a good lesson, I think. It's be patient, you know? It sounds like talking to you, you really appreciate the process of what the running's brought to you, you know? And you take your time, you know? It's hard for me even to listen to that, because I've ran marathons now. I've done 8 or something. I ran Boston 3 times, New York, the big ones, and my goal is to run all the majors, you know? Yeah.
It's so much fun.
It's fun. But I mean, doing 2 a year is even a lot for, I find it a lot. So last year I did New York, that was it. Yeah. This year it's going to be Berlin, but at least I know, like you're saying, throughout the season, I want to do those 5s and 10s. That's my thought process anyways right now, to try and improve those times in the shorter distance. Hurt, you can recover quicker, and then show up, hopefully with some new skills, you know, some quicker feet, you know, to be able to perform the way you want to. Because if that's your goal, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense.
But do you enjoy those 5Ks, 10Ks?
I do. Marathons?
Yeah, that's good. So you see, me too, I always think in the long run, my big goal is to bring down my marathon time to get close to the Quebec record. But I set all these small goals, and I have a lot of fun doing them, accomplishing them, having this race here and there. Hopefully now we get that virus outbreak gets dealt with, and now we can do all these races.
Yeah.
But now it's going to be tough also, because I'm so race driven. I find I can't train if I don't have a race coming up in 2 months or a month. Mm.
It's tough. If you don't know,
I'm not gonna go out run in the rain if especially in the with the winter times. If I know I've got no race coming up for the next 2 months, I'm gonna be okay, I'll do it tomorrow.
You gotta sign up to get going.
I need to be signed up to a race. I need to have something that's, you know, it gives you it's a bit of bad motivation in the sense of it's going to be bad if I don't train. I'm going to look bad at that race. But it's also good, because you're like, oh, I want to do well at that thing. And it's going to be fun, especially if I'm trained well and I can beat my PR or get that first position or whatever,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly. You're fortunate, like I mentioned in the intro, to be on such a great team. AVM's pretty awesome. I had Andrew McMartin actually on the podcast.
Yeah, nice.
Too.
I'll have to listen to these, the Mel and Andrew.
It's good.
I was planning to, I could have done that on the ride to to Jean-Pierre tomorrow, but now it's canceled. But
it's okay. There's time. But my question is more being surrounded by such amazing athletes, does that inspire you? Does that motivate you to become better as well? Because I mean, you're one of the best runners on that team. But do you find that they motivate you as well?
Especially from Mel, because Mel, I've known her for a long time, you know, and she's a lot of fun. She's funny. You talk to her, she's worked as a nurse for a lot of time, so she's seen a lot of stuff, and she doesn't ever keep her tongue in her mouth. And we joke a lot, and we have lots of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good. It's a good source of inspiration seeing her do these great achievements. She's done these good marathon times, almost qualifying for for the Olympics, but unfortunately, the Canadian girls were too good this year.
Man, they're so good. They're
yeah, very... just break records, break records. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Leave some for Mel.
Exactly. It's tough to watch. I mean, it's amazing to yeah. watch, I should say. It's
tough for her because, you know, she's followed her plan. She's done the times kind of that she needs, mm-hmm. but then people are just being better.
Yeah, and they're just pushing like crazy. Like, we were lucky last year to have some like Tasha Wodak, Rachel Cliff, Christy Duchesne. Like, we had a bunch of people, a bunch of those amazing women on the podcast. And yeah, Mel's no different. You know, they have that same kind of mentality and that same drive.
They're very driven. Mel is super driven. Like often I wonder how she does it, because, you know, like she comes to practice, but she has to do like an hour and a half of traffic to come. Like, oh, like,
yeah,
like she's got so much willpower. I feel a bit like, you know, I don't have the same willpower as her. I'm more like more joker and like chill, but mm-hmm. she's so driven, and she, you know, she's taken steps for that, like, or she works part-time for her job to make so that she can train and recover well. So it's super amazing to have her as a teammate. But I say also it's just the anybody, not just the top people, it's also just the regular grinders, you know, like, and I say regular grinders, they're still like way above the average time that you'll see at a race. Like, I'd say our club is pretty fast. But I just look at like Arnaud, this guy who's like on that first rep, he'll freaking go with me. And just like, I see him grind and I kill him in the second, but like he's freaking going for it and yeah. going hard, and he just doesn't care. And he's just like, he does good mileage, and he's just... He always wants to do so much. And just Aaron was free. Aaron Manning, my friend, teammate, was also like, he gets it. You know, he gets those times. He at the, I think in Scotia, he did the Scotia Bank 21K last year, he needed to get like something like under 112 or 111 to go to be able to qualify for Chicago. Mm. And he just did like just under, and just like, cause he's been grinding all year.
Yeah.
And it's fun. And also from older teammates, you know, it's always been from the relationships I've had with them. Not so much if they were fast or, if they were the best, it's just like having fun with them.
Mm-hmm.
I find running is a very social sport. Even though it's individual, it's very super social.
Yeah.
And a lot of people come for that. I come for that. You know?
Yeah, it's a good community. You know, if you're not having fun, like you said early on, like you got to have fun for yourself and also yeah. for the people around you, because running's hard. If you don't love it, you're in the wrong place, because it's difficult. You know, it's difficult to go and do these like hard trainings.
Oh.
And especially alone, you know, if you
a lot of people often ask, like, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you going to go like in the morning to go make yourself suffer like these nasty workouts?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, it's like, oh, I'm running this race. I'm doing an Ironman or like, you yeah. know, I'm, yeah, but, it's funny. There's this little funny video on YouTube about this guy's like, it's like a computer voice, and he's just like, "I'm training for an Ironman." And like, people are like, "Why are you doing this to yourself?" But you know, it's yeah. a very funny.
You have to send it to me. I'll post it in the show notes.
Oh, I'll send it to you. It's a classic. It's like a big meme. But yeah, it's most of the time the reason I'll say is because these other people are showing up. That's why I'm coming.
It's accountability, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Accountability helps so much. Definitely. I find the same thing. It's like track. Like, we had track this morning.
Yeah.
I know the group's going to be there. We're all going to do the workout. It's, you know, we all go at our own speed, but
everyone's there suffering.
Yeah. Trying to get better, right?
Yeah.
Very encouraging for sure.
That's what gets me there. Like, if not, I'm not gonna show up.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, like watching guys like you and watching Mel and Ariane's been on the podcast too, Ariane Rabi.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fun to be so close to athletes like yourself, because it's fun to watch and it's fun to see what it takes to get to that next step, you know? And I don't know if I'll ever get there, but to improve maybe to how far I can get is is encouraging to see, you know, and to see through another runner that's so close to us. You know?
Yeah, it's always fun to see someone like, you know, improving their times, especially if you can relate to those times. Oh, I did about 3 hours too in my marathons, you know. Mm-hmm. And oh, so if he can do that, then I can do that too. That was my master's thesis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How was that?
I was happy. It was a fun, I had a fun team, but I'll say like towards the end, it was just, I wanted to teach.
Yeah, exactly.
Wanted to get on the field. But that I've done that spiel a lot of time of the like modeling, using someone as a model. And it's very strong, it's super strong. Like you just look at that person, you just, you say, especially if you can relate, if you're about same age, same background, and just like,
to try and improve and keep improving. You got to have something to reach for.
Yeah. And you're just like, that's been done, so it can be done. It's just like the 4 minute mile. Like back before it was done by Roger Bannister, it was, everyone's like, it's impossible. No one's going to get it. Everyone kept like just missing it by a bit. Then he did it. And then in the next year, I don't know how many people did it just because mm-hmm. he had done it. Oh, it's feasible.
The barriers.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if it's going to happen with the 2 hour marathon there, but.
Oh, it will. It will very soon. Like, cool. Yeah. Oh, of like everyone breaking 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's a different beast because yeah. they're not going to do too many of those events because it's fun when it's the first time. They're going to get money from that big publicity.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it's going to be done for a second time, no one cares too much, except when it's going to be done in a race.
Exactly.
That's going to be an official.
A huge, record. Yeah. And if the marathon happens, Kipchoge and Bekele are going to be racing the same race, I believe. I don't know if it's London.
Cancelled.
It's cancelled.
Yeah. And Kenyan athletes can't go out of the country anymore. They can't travel anymore. There's been everything's going to shit.
I didn't hear
virus.
About that one. So I was looking forward to that heavyweight
no,
battle.
But... It's done. London cancelled, New York cancelled, and the Kenyans are stuck. They can't
Boston's
move around.
Coming up, I'm sure.
Yeah. Boston's going to be cancelled.
For maybe the first time in the 125th next year. So maybe the 124th, maybe the elites. I don't know. It's who knows? Because Tokyo was just elites, right? So
Yeah. Tokyo, they made it just the elites. But now, for now, the Kenyans can travel.
That's insane. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
my news feed is just that is a Corona race cancel. Corona. Oh!
Yeah, what's going on? we have obviously lots to talk about on this podcast, but you also have your own podcast. So can you tell me a bit about that? And like, obviously it's coming from a place of passion.
Yeah.
It's very obvious that you love running. So tell us a little bit about your own podcast.
Yeah. So it's in French, Le Monde de la Course. I was lying in my bed, like having ideas, and then I was like, oh, why don't I do that? Like, and I listened to podcasts back then, and listened to some podcasters I like Mike Warden's, like, yeah, you just, all you need is a recorder and click record. I was like, okay,
pretty much.
So then I got in some mics and I did one with Mel. The first one was with Mel, obviously, because she's my teammate and I've known her for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kept going from there, and it's a bit similar concept, get people talk. Now I also do a bit of coverage of the news. So right when I get home, I'm going to have to do a bit of a coverage on... I was planning to do coverage on the upcoming race of the Pichu, for example, the 15K.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now it's going to be on what could have been, and actually it's just canceled.
Yeah.
It's been... I found it's a lot of time to do a podcast.
Yeah.
I know what the stuff you have to do to then get this out. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's fun. I like to do that. If you understand French, you can tune in if you want. It's very, we have less quality equipment. Well, I have less quality equipment because it's basically me in my living room.
Right. But I've listened to it. The quality is, as long as you can hear the message, that's all that matters. You know, how crisp it is, then you're getting picky.
Once my cat just went in the recycle and then it was just like make so much noise. We didn't have these mics that just capture right there. So it's just like talking to this guy and it's just like bang, bang, in the background.
Bouncing all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. My cat was a bit of a meme for the podcast.
That's like behind the scenes of the podcast, which... We won't be able to get on this this video, but
there's always a lot of story of the behind the scene happening when I record one, because it rarely goes perfectly, but
yeah,
it's there.
Who's been your most interesting guest so far? Like, if you had to direct somebody to a place to start,
well, I'll say from popularity, because I can see the stats on my videos. And one of my top videos is an interview I did with Coach Doris Langlois,
who's
the top coach in Quebec in terms of athletes, in terms of sheer number of athletes. I think he coaches like 700 or something. It's like, it's insane.
It's insane.
So that was very popular. Also, I also did one with a nutritionist, Annick Besseau. And I guess the word nutrition is very like a viral something, and people were really interested in this running nutrition. So that one was also popular. I also got the Quebec Marathon record holder to come. So that was really fun. Like, I was like a bit starstruck. Like, that's the guy. But he's a super nice guy. I made him some curry afterwards.
Nice. But that's a record. That's the record you're
that's
after.
That's the record I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get him. But I see he's much more driven guy than I am. So I'm not too sure. He's really like, when I interviewed him, he was like, when people ask me what I do, I say I'm a runner. And you know, he was also a phys ed teacher too, but he just subbed a bit, and he mostly trained, and you know, he self-defined as that, which I find I have a bit less of. I run for fun more, for the fun of like racing and winning. Mm-hmm. But I think my most fun podcast have been with Mel. I've done like two or three episodes with her. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just when you're really used to someone, and you joke around, you don't care, you're more relaxed. Mm-hmm. I find it makes very interesting content. So I just thinking straight from my head.
Yeah.
These are
so tune into maybe Mel's episode and get some insight into a very, very, very good female runner in Canada. So
I listen to her French. It's pretty good. Her French is pretty good. A big accent, but she speaks very well.
Yeah. So. What's next for you in terms of, I mean, it's hard to say in terms of racing, because everything's been canceled.
I would have told you yesterday, I would have told you this. Yeah. Now it's like.
But I guess like for goals in the sport, maybe from that approach, what are you tackling? What are you after? What are you after? Is it the Canadian marathon? Like is it the
Quebec marathon record? 214
and change.
And change like 15 maybe.
Okay.
That's a long-term one.
Yeah.
I make myself some short-term ones that I think I can attain in a year, let's say. So I want to go sub 220 in a marathon. I'll try to do that in the fall. If there's marathons are still a thing in this fall, hopefully.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest goal, I'd say. And then it's just like try to win all these Quebec road race championships. So it's been new this last year. There's the Coupe Quebec, which is there's a 5K Quebec provincial championship, 10K, 15K, and 21K. Mm-hmm. So I'll try to win these again and win the cup.
You've won it before?
Yeah, last year.
Nice. Very good.
Last year. And I want to try to win every race. Oh, no, I can't this year because, well, Pichu is canceled.
Oh, yeah.
But, last year I wanted to get first in all four races, and one race I got second.
Okay.
And that was the last one. I was super pissed, but then I got over it. I'm like, hey, I'm running. My life is still pretty...
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's still pretty good.
Is that the attitude you always have? Like, even if you lose or... Like what? How do you handle defeat? Because clearly you're a high end athlete. You're finishing top in these races. You're entering races that are competitive, but you know you're competing with the top guys out there. So how do you handle like a loss?
And I always have high expectations. I always want to win. So it's like, you know, it's a tough goal to get. Like, it's easy to be disappointed by that because like. Well, my goal is to win. Oh, one person beat me. Well, that goal is failed, you know? But so I set that goal. I set a second goal. So my second goal is to finish second, you know? And then it was rough because, you know, I wanted to, there's a bit of a Quebec-Montreal rivalry. Like, not huge, but, you know, it's fun. Like, it's like, oh, is it going to be Montreal guy who wins or the Quebec guy who wins?
Right.
And then I got second. The Quebec guy won. And, you know, it's I get angry at the moment, but then my trick is always to think like, I've given all I could. And so far, I don't think there's many races where I don't feel like that. If there was a race where I felt like that, then a defeat would be tough.
Mm.
But when I've given all I can and I get defeated, I'm like, well, I've done anything I could to do that. I've pushed my body to its limit. I've done the every little tick I could do, every little effort I could put in. I've done it for that race. I didn't get it. It sucks, but and in the funny thing, in the car ride, often we'd go to Quebec City. I'd go with Mel and some other teammates, and then we come back, and that, when we're pissed, we put "You Can't Always Get What You Want" by Rolling Stone. We're just singing, "You can't always get what you want."
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And we just bang it, and we just go, "Ah!" And it helps to let it out a bit. It's tough in the moment, in the heat of the moment. I remember that one of my toughest ones was my last year of varsity running. The year before, I had managed to qualify for U Sports, which is the Canadian University Championships in the 3K. And then that year, I was like, okay, I really want to qualify this year, like try to do a good time and, try to qualify. And then I raced and then I finished like fourth, and I was so angry at myself because some guys beat me that normally shouldn't beat me. I still gave my all, but I was super pissed because I wanted to be in at least second or something. Then I went in the corner. I was like, what is this? What is going on? Just sit there a bit away from all the noise. People are like, oh boy, like let's leave him alone. Then I'm just like sitting like, okay. Like 5 or 10 minutes after, I'm like, okay, get out of there. Go back, see my teammates a bit. See what the results of their races is, blah, blah, blah. Then get back to it. But I think it's super important to have... to be good at handling defeat and to just tell yourself, I've given all I can.
That's all you can do.
That's all I can do. That's a win in itself. Of course, it's frustrating not to be ahead of the other guy you wanted to be ahead of. But if I've given all I can, then so be it.
And do you believe in like the words, maybe it's not your day?
Yeah. Oh, so much.
Yeah.
So much.
like if you raced again tomorrow, you'd win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So much. Yeah. Like you have these days where like I feel like my fitness is there. I feel like I should beat that guy. And then that other guy beats me. And I'm like, I was just not feeling it. I was not feeling well. And it's not that I didn't put the effort. It's just that day, the body is just not going as fast as it could be on another day. Mm. I'm a huge proponent of that phrase, if you will. Some people would say it's just an excuse. It's trying to find an excuse for like having failed or not having given a good enough effort, or just they say it's not good to make excuses. But I find it's good to have excuses as long as they're legitimate. And I think that's a legitimate one to say. Sometimes it's not your day. Your body just doesn't go fast that day. Like there's so much stuff going on in your body.
Yeah. And it's good to have something that will help you move on quicker, yeah. Right? It doesn't do anybody any good to dwell on a specific race or result, or because there's always another day. We're always going to train for another race. There'll be another time. You'll beat that guy next time
you'll get that time you wanted another time. Like sometimes you can have all the good conditions. The weather's good. Everything's good, but it's just, that day, your body is not like the perfect example is for women is their like the menstrual cycle. Like for them, it often can be that like everything else is fine, but because of where they are in it, they're at their peak or they're not at their peak at all. Like a lot, like Mel talks to me a lot about that, and she's like, so we try to pick a race that where it's going to be good and all that.
You got to manage that too.
Yeah, that's a very easy to see example of it. But I think in men, there's no menstrual cycle, but there's we have just like running cycles that we don't know. And like you can never identify what's your peak and lowest, but it's just there is. Some day you're faster, some day you're slower. You see it in training too.
You have life cycles too, right? Yeah. We have stresses in life, work,
you know, relationships, family, whatever it might be, that can also, you know, affect our mental or physical. Maybe we're not sleeping as good, whatever, you know, it's a really fine line. Like you said, you got to listen to our body and see like, okay, what's going on, you know?
There's so many variables. Like it's a long process to learn to listen to your body, and even the best people, they can't perfectly do it. Mm. But when you've got a good hint, like, ooh, I'm walking and I still feel pain, then it's to be able to be, okay, I'm not going to do that race I was supposed to do, or
right,
I'm not going to do that workout I'm supposed to do. It takes time and experience to get to that. But there are those cycles, and there are days that it's not your day, that 100%.
What are some in-race words that you give yourself to make sure that you're whether you're behind or ahead, to make sure you're giving yourself a chance at the best performance possible on the day?
Yeah. So there's no specific words. I've been asked that question before, but there's some messages. One of the classic ones is just keep going. Just keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. It's very simple, but that's it. And I also often tell myself, especially for track races, I'd say, because these are you go fast and it's very painful muscularly sometimes.
Lactic acid.
Yeah. And it's just also, you're just pumping so much. And I often tell myself, it's normal to be suffering. I should be suffering. If I'm not suffering, then something is wrong. I'm not pushing enough. So that's, these are the messages I tell myself. And only in the marathon will I not tell myself these messages until I'm like 25, 30K in. That's when I'll go. Before that, you got to restrict yourself. You got to be like, yeah, I'm feeling fine, but I'm sticking to the pace. I'm sticking to the pace. Stick to the pace. Stick to the pace. Mm-hmm. Don't get too excited. These are the messages I say more in the beginning of a marathon. Then when you're really 25K, 30K, then you can start go, okay, let's bring it up. Let's push. And you're not bringing it up. You're just maintaining the pace, but bringing up the intensity level, the effort level. But yeah, the any other race is just keep going, keep going. John tries to get me to bring an external low focus, like to try to just look at the guy ahead of me or look at a point in front of me. He says this can also help. I'm trying. I try to also do that sometimes. You just focus on something else and you forget the pain.
Mm.
That can help. And especially when you're battling, when you're in a pack, when you're with other people, I find it helps so much. Not so much physically. Like maybe if it's very windy, sure, it can make a bit of a difference if you're behind them. But I find if I'm just next to them, I'm just like, I'm just thinking, don't let him get ahead. And just that, I forget about the pain. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, I'm just racing the other person. And it's the same in workouts. I'll go so much faster if I have a guy right next to me, and I'll feel so much less effort.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're kind of like pulling each other.
Yeah, that's it. And there's no physical strings that pull us together. Yeah. It's just mental. You're forgetting about the pain because you're focusing on the competition. And I find that helps so much.
And I think that's a unique kind of perspective, because not all of us get to run in a pack for an extended period of time. Like when you're running at the front of a marathon, let's say, you have this group of runners that of select runners that are able to run at this speed.
So, and they have pacers and all. So,
you're running at like a click, maybe with 5-6 other guys, if you're lucky.
Yeah. But often you get left alone, like especially unless you're in the top, like me, that's the thing I find that's been hard with my marathons. I've been stuck. Like, let's say the Toronto, I was with a guy until like 21, 25K, and then he just died, and then I was alone. And then, you feel the pain so much more. And, you know, it's excuses, but it's excuses.
Yeah.
And Montreal too, like alone for most of it, and it's tough.
Well, that was you. I was going to ask you about that, how there was a delay with the...
Oh my God, that was such a joke. Like that organization was, I don't know how much it was rotten, but clearly the lead guy
Stepped down.
Like, so for example, the I had a guy who listened to my podcast who told me, I've looked at the course, okay? The course, it starts together the first 10K, it's the half marathon, the full marathon. Then the marathon branches out, keeps going, and then comes back again in the half marathon at around 12K. Mm-hmm. But the marathon, you're at about 25K. So then you got the very fast people in the marathon who are coming in behind some slower people in the half marathon. And like, he's like, I've checked, and according to the times, it's going to be very bad. Like, you guys are going to bump into each other. So unless there's like different lanes, it's going to be bad. So then I messaged the elite coordinator, who messaged the race director, and he was like, oh, it's going to be fine. Then the meeting just the day before the race, yeah, what about this? Someone else asked the question. Yeah, it'll be fine. And then the race itself, what a joke.
Like, yeah.
We were the top elite. I know a guy who was running with the top elite woman, Olivier Roy-Bergeon, and he said she had a motorbike. Oh,
another good runner. I see him on the track all the time.
Yeah. And he was running, like, profiting off her because she was around the pace he was aiming. And she was going with the lead motorbike for the women. And, like, there were too many people. The bike was honking. Some people had earphones and stuff like that. People were not moving. She almost bumped into the motorbike. We had to go through hordes of people because that's the bulk of it. The bulk of it is the slower half marathoners.
Right.
We had to go through that. It was disgusting.
There was pictures of the male winner running through, but there was like tons of people around, and he's got to like dodge all these.
It's ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And we had warned them, and they were like, no, it's going to be fine. I was like, okay, maybe he knows his stuff.
Yeah.
No, he just didn't care. Like, he had too many other worries, which I guess was being understaffed and stuff like that because of the whole organization not putting enough money in, but that's another story. But yeah, that was
and that was the Oasis Montreal.
Yeah, the Montreal Marathon 2019.
Yeah,
waiting on the start line. Luckily for us, elites, we had someone to take us to the bathroom when we wanted, and we could, because like they're not gonna they know there's at least 2 minutes. There's a bathroom for the elites. Okay, go quickly.
Because there was a delayed start.
50 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I was right behind you guys, and
like
you guys were supposed to take off ahead of everyone, which would have helped maybe with...
No. We were supposed to start just when the people start, or maybe 5 minutes before,
yeah.
But it wouldn't have changed that.
Okay.
It would have still been as
the
crappy.
Packs. Yeah.
It would have still been stuck in the slower half marathoners.
What do you do during the delay? Like... when you're ready to go.
At first I was bouncing a bit and I'm waiting. At some point I just sat.
I saw you
like,
sitting, yeah.
What is this? Like looking at other people, I'm like, what is this garbage?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You're trying to be a elite, bring the elites, and they're like, what is this organization? 50 minute, like that's like I haven't seen that at other events ever.
Do you think it'll change how it goes this year?
Yeah, well they've done a restructuring a bit, but it's still the same organization. It's still the Rock and Roll, which is competitor, which is Wanda, right. And which is Iron Man,
yes.
Which is Wanda.
Yes.
A Chinese company, and like they say they've changed. I've heard that the people taking care of it are good people, but my worry is not. It's not that the people at the top are good. It's that they give them enough funds to get enough people. Because what I believe happened is usually when you want to get volunteers, you pay a bit of money to a club or to this organization and they send you volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what I think happened is they cut from that money. So they got less volunteers and they didn't have enough to close the road section that needed to be closed. They blamed the police initially. Then it was like, no, it was supposed to be volunteers there.
Yeah.
The police had to do it because there were no volunteers there.
I see. It's very interesting. And then there was a casualty too that happened.
Yeah, because it was such a mess.
Yeah, and that's probably had something to do with it, which is unfortunate.
It's just the organization was like hectic. I had someone tell me also that 5K and 10K, which were the day before, the like... 10 minutes before a start or something, like some important people, like race start or something, were like in Tim Horton chilling or something. Like, anyway, I haven't seen it myself, but it's like, it's just like not serious.
Mm-hmm.
And they get a lot of money, they raise the prices, they make it super expensive.
It is expensive.
And they don't give back.
Yeah.
They don't give back in terms of the experience you're getting. They just try to make as much profit as possible.
Mm.
That pissed me off a lot.
Yeah.
Like the only reason why I considered doing it is if I thought it improved or if there's good prize money, but
then it's not worth it even to have that kind of experience. Yeah.
It's just like, it's ridiculous. Like, yeah.
Does that affect your decision-making when it comes to upcoming courses? Do you tend to
100%? Yeah. Like Montreal, like number one, if the course was a bit faster, it'd be a bit more interesting, but what can you do? That I can excuse, but like the lack of faith I have in this organization now, it's like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to expect like terrible conditions. I'm not going to expect a good time. I'm just going to be there for the placement and the money.
Mm-hmm.
But if I need to do a good race to get a good time for my Elite Quebec funding, then maybe it's worth it to just skip it and do another one.
Right.
Which was what was happening last year. I did Montreal for the money just in case I wouldn't hit the standard. Then Toronto was the one where I was trying to hit a certain time to get it. I missed it by 19 seconds in the end, which really sucked.
Yeah.
But
yeah. That's crazy.
19 seconds cost me, let's say 20 seconds cost me 4,000, which makes it 1,000 per 5 seconds, which makes $200 a second. I've made that calculation before.
Yeah. You had a long drive home after.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. Do you, like when it comes to, because I've come, 3 seconds off 245, sub 245, yeah. which then qualifies you for like the other world majors. Like,
okay.
It puts you in like a fast runner group.
Okay.
So I was like, if I get, under 245, then I have a better chance to get into like Tokyo, London.
Missed it by 3 seconds?
3 seconds. Oh. Yeah. And Berlin, I got in through lottery. Thank God, but like, is that like the worst way to lose?
Well, when if you're 2 minutes off, then you're like, okay, I couldn't have done it. Like even then, I still believe I couldn't have done it because I was sprinting so hard at the end. Like
okay.
I did like my last K, I did around like 2:35 or something. Like I was going Kipchoge speed in my last K,
at the end of a marathon.
Like, yeah. I was pushing so hard and then I freaking failed it. But I was giving my all. My legs were dead.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have gotten these 19 seconds, but still it's like. Yeah. You think, what if I hadn't done Montreal and trained instead?
You go, yeah, right?
But then you don't know.
Hindsight's 20/20.
But you can never know. That's the truth. You can never know, is the organization, well, at least for Montreal, you can never know. Like Toronto, I trust the organization.
Oh, it's very good, yeah.
I've heard so much good stuff and I've seen it myself.
It's great race.
Being in the lead there, it's great treatment, great race. It's a lot of decision making. Like when you're running elite, you got to think, okay, I'm going to make this much money at this race versus that one, versus I need to hit this time standard to make Quebec funding money. So it's a lot of calculations. You got to think, it's always thinking. Sometimes the races, they're slower, like in terms of like the course is slower, but they give you a bit more money versus the one where you can make a good time gives you zero money.
Right.
You're thinking a bit about that.
Yeah, which is smart. You need to do that to be able to kind of sustain what you're doing too. And
yeah, I'm still super lucky. Like many people, most 99% of people, they practice the sport losing money because they buy shoes, they buy race entries. It costs money. It's not the most expensive sport, but if you do a lot of races, it gets expensive.
Right.
And running shoes too. If you're training for marathons, you go through them quickly. I'm lucky to have Skechers giving me shoes. So I'm very lucky. I always recognize that. If I want to keep working, I work 4 days out of five at my job. So I work 80% so that I have this extra day to recover. Mm-hmm. So that's a choice I made, but I'm expecting to make money from races to complement to make up for that lost money.
Right. So. And how long have you been with Skechers? And
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, it's been like 6-7 years.
Okay. Yeah. And my follow up to that was, So what makes a good shoe for you, and why have you been with them so long and so loyal? Because I think, well, I've been, this is my second year with Skechers, and I find that I wear them and I love them. Yeah. And, but when people see you in them, they still like,
There's still a bit of a stigma, but I say you're lucky because you're there since they got the new foam, like the Hyperburst. Me mostly, like, let's say in the beginning, it was mostly because they were giving me free shoes. And they, I like their pitch of having cheap shoes, because I find, like honestly, you don't need $200 shoes. You don't need $150 shoes. You just need shoes that are able to make you run. Then for races, it's okay to spend some dough on some, like, the best shoes you can get. So that's why the Nike 4% are selling so much, because it's, well, now it's the Alpha Fly, whatever, Next Percent, because, like, yeah, it's you want to increase your time as much as possible to get a good shoe for a race day. But on the non-race day, you just need a shoe that's made for running. That's all that you need. So I like that pitch that they had, that it was like cheap shoes. And now they've improved their price range, but now I would say their shoes are like, they're higher because it's like super light and it's very bouncy. So it's similar to Vaporfly again, of the bounciness. I haven't tried actually the Vaporfly, but I just find the Go Runs, I really love them. I'm just waiting for that new upper because the sock fit, I find it digs a bit in my heel.
Yeah.
But
the 7 Plus, you mean?
Yeah, I'm waiting for the 7 Plus. Yeah. The Go Run 7 Plus, that's going to be the perfect shoe. It's going to be awesome. But I still love my Go Runs, but I need to make sure I have long socks when I wear
them.
That's it,
yeah.
But yeah, the bounciness is great. The Razor, I mean, it's got all that praise for like its lightness and all. And yeah, it's nice to have some Speed Elites and all that, and which you can get now. Well, now they're sold out.
Yeah.
But
with the carbon plates.
Yeah.
The new ones,
yeah. All carbon plate shoes get sold out super quick these days.
Well, it's the thing, right? It's the big thing, right? Yeah.
They'll be able to restock again, I think, in March, they said.
All right, cool. Yeah, it's been a pleasure being with them, and they're super chill, and I think
That's what I like about them too. They're chill.
Yeah.
Some brands are like, you know, like, oh, if you're ever seen in another you're wearing another shirt that you got at a race or something, it's got a ASICS or whatever logo, like, ooh. I don't know. I've been with other brands, but that's what I've heard sometimes. Like, some people are like, oh, you're wearing this other brand. This day I just had a shirt of this brand because I got it years ago or whatever, or I got it for free and whatever.
Yeah.
At the race, of course, I wear the Skechers stuff, but they don't get on my butt, you know, like, they don't, they're just super chill. They're like, just rep our brand. That's it.
Yeah.
Do send us some little recaps, do some posts.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Like, fun team. And like, we met all the athletes last night. It was,
I had some freshie.
Yeah.
And got some, I hoarded some pants, but it's good. I need more Skechers gear.
Some swag for sure.
Yeah. I got a lot of swag. Gonna make lots of posts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're wearing some stuff here today. So it looks great. What does running mean to you?
It's since 2014, 2015, now it's just me, you know. I self-define first, like, what do you do? Like, of course, if someone says, what do you do? I'll say, okay, I'm a teacher, blah, blah, blah. But everyone I know around me sees me as a runner. And partly because of that, but also because of, like, running is just my life. That's what I am. Running is life, if you will. I'm sacrificing other stuff for running. I don't go skiing anymore. I don't go, you know, you can't fool around so much anymore. You can't do certain activities because you might injure yourself, or you just don't have time for that often, or you don't have the energy. Like, Saturday, I'll run this big workout in the morning. I'm not going to go do some cross-country ski or whatever, or do some just skiing or any other activity. So running directs my life personally, because I'm running every day. I have a workout 3 days, 3 days a week, most of the time, or a race once. And so it's just, everything revolves around it. But I find it's like, I really like it right now, especially now that I'm commute running. It gives me, I come to my job, I'm more energized when I get there. I don't have to use my car. I'm reducing my carbon footprint. And you know, the commute is fun. The commute is like, I'm looking at the cars. I'm like, ah,
you're in traffic and
yeah, you know, by. Like unfortunately there's not enough traffic that I can go to that machine,
yeah.
But I'm still like, I'm making no stops. I don't have to do my stops. I'm just running because yeah. I'm on the bike path, you know? So it makes me, I find it gives a direction to my life. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, same kind of thing. It's given me so much in the last 4 or 5 years. You know, from the time I met my coaches, well, you met, you know, Kat and Kev, they're also Skechers athletes.
Yeah.
And, you know, then doing workouts with them and then doing plans through them and putting in the work to really improve and to see those improvements. I don't think, like you, I don't think I was ever very good at like other sports. Like I'm a decent hockey player and soccer player, but never at a really high level. And I think for running, it gave me a chance to excel at something, which was exciting.
Yeah.
Because I love sport. I love, you know, I am competitive with myself. And yeah, it, you know, going and doing Ironman and just like challenging yourself, like in endurance sports is really something that I really cherish. Like I love that time, you know, and I love the grind. I really do. You know?
Yeah.
I love being, you know, I'll go out. I'd love to come out with you guys, and I've done it in the past, completely got my, you know, what kicked, but it's fun just to be part of that and to see other people looping around and pushing yourself to just get a little bit closer and to close that gap a little bit.
Seeing the day after, oh, this time I'm able to go with that person or I'm getting closer. A lot of guys, they try to chase Mel. They try to hold on to her.
Yeah, which is, I mean, she's super fast too, right? Yeah. But yeah, I guess they see like, oh yeah, maybe I'll try and hang on. But yeah, she'll, she kicks it and then it's over.
A lot of guys they get crushed. Yeah. Like they get their dreams crushed.
Yeah, exactly. Just trying to follow her.
Yeah.
But just, yeah, getting to meet cool people and, you know, bring me here to do the podcast and talking with you. And it's just been a nice, nice couple of years where a lot's happened because of running. And it's all thanks to that.
As you're saying, I find it's the grind is the grind sucks, but it's also so much fun.
Mm.
Especially when you're with other people. When you're alone, I find it sucks. And there's less fun. But when you're with others, I get nostalgic of the times when I was running varsity, let's say, and we were like this big group of guys and, you know, like we go for cross country, for track and take our shirts off. And we're just like grinding on. You hear the person next to you pushing, they're dying. And it's just fun suffering together. It's weird. Like objectively, there's nothing fun about it.
No.
But when you think back, like, oh, I'm happy I did that. And it was fun to do it with these guys. It's good memories. But yeah, and it's fun.
Yeah. That's it. Like creating memories through running. And because that's at the end of the day, it's going to have fun no matter what you're doing, you know? What advice could you give to somebody starting out running or, you know, starting late, like you started a bit later too. What advice could you give to them?
Find a group. That's my big one. And try to like, don't make running so much. Like, of course, at the beginning, it's going to be a bit of a chore. Because especially when you're beginning, like running is harder. A lot of people, when I tell them, like when I'm running, I feel like I'm walking a bit. They're like, what? Like, but it's true. When I do an easy run, running is just like walking in terms of, of effort. Like, well, of course walking is slightly easier, but it's just natural. I'm just going. I don't feel any pain. I don't feel any intention to stop running. I just have fun and I'm just going with the flow, with the wind.
Mm-hmm.
So of course in the beginning it's going to be a bit harder, but to try to, you know, if I find commute running is great. If you're able to do that, it makes it so much less of a chore and makes you appreciate your commute a lot more. Go gradually. Don't get too carried away, but really finding a group, I find it's going to help you have the discipline.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't have the discipline. Like, some people have the discipline. Some people are like that. They're able to just say, okay, I'm going to start running. They write their plan and they do it. It's good to write it down, I know. But me, it's just to have these people waiting for me.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, 100%. It gets you out the door, gets you doing the stuff that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And once they say go, it's go. And there's no other way around. There's no thinking. The less thinking you have to do, the better.
Yeah, that's true. That I agree with 100%. Like, you just go with them. Okay, let's go suffer. And it feels less worse.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks so much for coming in today. I really hope to get a chance to run with AVM soon and come out for a good ass kicking.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we'll definitely share a bit about your podcast in the show notes so other people can listen. I love supporting other people's podcasts, and like this space especially it's nice because we get to share experiences with other people, and I appreciate you coming in to share your story with
my
us.
Pleasure. I have free time now. I don't have any more races, so yeah. I'll just blabber.
Hopefully we get to race something like later in the year, to be honest. But we'll have to wait and see, and we'll definitely be following you along your journey.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by WRG Run Club. What's really good is running with people who are fun, friendly, and positive. Whatever your experience, age, or identity, you're welcome to join us at the base of Mount Royal every Monday night at 7 p.m. Just look for the group of smiling faces next to the monument. Some run fast, some run slow. Who you'll meet, you never know. If you want to learn more, visit our website, iamarunner.ca, and check out their Instagram, @WRGRuns. Hope to see you out there. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to visit us at imarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram @TheRundown. Now take what you've learned and run with it.
The Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in St. Henry, Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and hosted by Justin Pugliese.